The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
Yes, citizens.
There you have it. How about that little Lucid Nation for you right here on Radio Memphis and Memphis Metal Mondays? That song is called Token Voter, and that is off the brand new album, their latest album, Echosteria. And I tell you what, man, that is some cool stuff. You know, front woman Tamara Spivey, you got Ronnie Pontiac, you know, guitar and vocals. You got Grit Maldonado on bass. You got Phoenix LaFollette on bass. He does keys. He has engineering. He's also got Dave Green on drums and percussion as well. And I tell you, one of the things about this particular group, you know, they have been around for a while. If you know nothing about them, Rolling Stone says that if Spivey sounds like Spacey, she's not. Her songs range from aggressive screaming punk to beautifully melodic rhythm and blues, and is the very definition of garage rock. And of course, you know, Tangerine Magazine also talks about them and says that their jaw-dropping one in a million talent of this band is poet vocalist Tammy Spivey. Her squeals, punk, howls, growls, and soft, cajoling steel the spotlight. And of course, you know, it goes on. LA Weekly talks about her, and they think that she sounds like an early Patti Smith, which I totally agree with, okay? And she's pretty much trapped at a Godspeed you Black Emperor rehearsal, which I think is just a fan. That's one of the coolest reviews I think I've ever read. In Music We Trust, they think one of the best chaotic rock bands on the planet. And you know, this is one of those things where you like the, you want that punk rock riot girl, this is it. This is it.
Very cool.
It is very. You know what's even cooler?
I think we played one of the songs last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that one, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay, yeah. I'm just trying to remember. I knew it didn't, like, I was like, that doesn't sound like the same band.
No, it is. No, because she's got very, just really cool different stuff. I think it was American Beauty, I think is what we played last time. But you know what's even cooler?
What's that?
The light's blinking.
Oh, that means there's a phone call. Interesting.
My Phil, you were what would I do without you? That's right. Those of you that have been waiting, yeah, we've got Tamara Spivey on the phone with us right now, right here on Memphis Metal Mondays. Hey, darling, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I am fantastic. Man, what's up, rock star? That is...
Well, yeah, the first thing I wanted to say is, did you know weed is legal in California now? But I think that's the wrong kind of stuff.
I took that away from you, man.
But actually, that's Ken Schott on drums for that song.
Oh, is it really? See, I did not even know that.
Ken from Candaria.
Oh, my goodness. I did not know that. Of course, you know me, D. We've talked, and we're hanging out. We're like friends now. I do want to let you know that I have a co-host hanging out with me, Phil Berger.
Hi, Phil.
He's a total guitar player. He's a total dude. He's total cool. He's total, like, all about it, and he's, like, totally in awe. So,
oh, good.
I look at him, as he smirks, and he just smiles. And now he's winking.
We've got another guitar player. Sounds good.
You know what? Just in case, yeah, he's that good. So if something happens and you need him, I know his number.
It'll be a bit of a commute, though, don't you think?
Yeah, it's amazing what can happen, though, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
So how have you been? Look, I want to tell you that I have totally... Whether you realize this or not, and I think you probably figured this out when we've been talking on the phone and having fun, you know, trying to get to know each other a little bit. My job is to stalk you, you know?
It's not a job. She enjoys it.
Well, yeah.
Don't let her lie.
Yeah, I have to say it's my job so people don't think that's something that I truly do enjoy, and I would do it anyway, right?
If any law enforcement are listening in right now, she is not really a stalker.
I am a stalker. But I have so loved learning about you. My God. it is so funny because I sat there and I was thinking about it today going, normally I can come in and, like I said, I learned about some things and I'm like, man, we're just going to jump in here and the conversations always happen naturally. I'm like, this girl's got a lot of shit going on. What am I going to do with this? You know, and you know, obviously, you know, the attraction was Lucid Nation, your band, and you know, you guys have always been kind of on the forefront and the cutting edge, you know, of music, you know, and everybody's always been able to kind of use you guys to an extent as a marker on whether or not a revolution is going to happen or a change is going to happen.
But, oh wait, this is getting way too serious. I've got to switch my phones up because my connection sucks.
Okay.
let me switch this up for
she's,
a second.
Oh, so now she's going to tune in. Okay.
Yeah, right.
I caught that. Damn her.
Okay, let me see if this is better.
Oh, my God. That sounds so much cooler.
I can't hear you at all now.
Oh, can you not? Hello?
I can hear you very barely.
Very barely. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? No, are we doing the story? We're doing
and
the commercial.
Let's try it now.
Okay, how about now?
That is so much better.
I know. You sound like really cool and like really crisp and all like you're sitting here with me kind of thing too.
Okay.
Yeah, see, this is, yeah, I was getting told serious. She was like, okay, wait, hold on. Let me get the other connection.
She's like, on the phone, I can hear all these accolades.
what I was saying is that, you know, you guys are always on the forefront of like a revolution or some type of marker where, you know, you like create change, you know, with your music. And, you know, and it's kind of one of those things. I have to know, you know, you've been doing this for some time, Tamara. I have to know where your inspiration got started.
Well, was that a good start?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of it was actually personal. It was simply, I was watching, Ronnie was a musician, I was sort of the girlfriend, and I kept watching him go through musicians and just being so frustrated, and I finally said, you know what, I think I would like to try, so why don't you give me, like, a few months to see what I could do on guitar. And if I can, like, catch up with the guys that you've been meeting, let's see if we can make songs.
Okay.
And he was like, sounds good.
Wow.
And I really, really liked playing guitar. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And as it progressed, it helped me as a human being, because I had been a very reserved person, let's say.
Okay.
And because of that, it was difficult for me to speak. It was difficult for me to communicate. I was just rather withdrawn.
Really?
And suddenly, now, of course, this was all in steps, so, of course, I'd only play guitar.
I see.
Or I'd only play bass. No singing. And then, quite accidentally, we had some friends who were putting on a show, and they said, well, you're on the bill, so I guess you better get some songs together and play. And we had no idea what to do, and I happened to have been friends, just acquaintances with our drummer, Debbie, our first drummer.
Right, right.
And so we said, hey, some friends of ours are letting us use their gear and their rehearsal space. You want to come and play drums?
How funny.
And she said, sure. And then once we got her behind the drum kit, we said, we have a gig in a week. Would you like to play drums in a band?
Hey, by the way, we kind of need you. And
if you're not doing anything next week, we and
wow.
it was actually a revelation to be able to just get out there and sing and play. And I think because we were in this, you know, very, you know, limited scene, this Riot Girl scene, it was a scene that accepted people not being desperately professional.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, you could make mistakes, you could stutter and stuff. I mean, it was really fun. It was just like a group of really good friends getting together and having a great show.
Wow.
And it just went on from there. It kind of, Lucid Nation kind of took off like a horse that we didn't know how to ride, but we just
and you just hung
tried
on.
To stay on.
Yeah, you just hung on for dear life. You had no saddle.
I've been riding since I was a little kid, so I was okay with it. It's like, okay, this will be easy.
This will be fine, and this will be good. And you wind up really kind of striking into something. And it's funny because. And for those of you that are tuned in, hanging out with Tamara's PB, Lucid Nation. The funny thing with you and in the band is that you wind up just. I mean, when you're talking about an original sound and it's all yours and it's your thing, it was like this is. It's very distinctly you. You know what I mean? And so, you know, and it was one of those things where, you know, you could tell that you know you didn't pay attention to what anybody else had going on. You just created what was coming out of your head. You know, and that's hard. That's hard. You know, and
well, no, it's stubborn because I just wanted to do it the way I wanted to do.
See, at least you told the truth.
And that's the thing. It's like because of the emotional relief of being able to express yourself in a way that was a little more accurate than when your normal persona.
Yeah, right.
It's not like I'm putting on a persona. It's like I'm allowing myself to be completely me there at the moment. That's the most amazing fun.
Wow.
It's so genuinely fun.
Wow.
To just be yourself. But it's in that context, in a band.
See?
And, you know, whatever I think of, I can make a song out of. That's what I do, you know. For some reason, I didn't know that's what I did, but I did find out, and that's the good part.
Well, that's okay. So, how do you? So that's there's a cool question. So you start playing guitar, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and remind. Okay, at this point in the game, okay, we are an introvert. We don't like to express ourselves, you know. But somehow music is the key that unlocks this for you. You know, it's the gateway that gets you into, you know, kind of really releasing, you know, what's kind of going on in your head. You figure out you're going to do this, you know, this singing and thing. You know,
the singing thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So. You know, you just made that statement. You know, you did not know that's what you could do, but that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
What was that moment you stumbled into it and you're like, hey,
this works.
This is what I do. You know, when did you figure out what you do? How do you do this?
It was actually, that again was a step by step process because we play in coffee houses.
Ah, okay.
And, okay, so we go through drummers like you wouldn't believe, like most women go through shoes.
Wow.
But so we are working in Little Tokyo in a coffee house called the Impala.
Okay.
Which used to be the Atomic Cafe.
Oh, wow.
And we're working with a temporary drummer, and we only had a few songs. So we finish our set, and it's very clipped and very short. And our third drummer was in the audience, and we said, well, that's all the songs we have. And she yelled out, make something up. And so we did.
Yes!
We discovered that we could improvise, at least Ron and I could very well.
Oh, wow.
And I could just start pulling out songs.
Oh, wow.
Now, the next step of this is when I realized that it really was something was we went in with the DNA band, which was Margaret was in this band.
Okay.
And we'd done the set of songs that we rehearsed and you know, worked out. And then we had about an hour's worth of tape.
Wow.
And we just said, well, then roll it. You know, we'll jam.
Okay.
And that became Suburban Legends, the next CD.
That is incredible. That's incredible.
And I just remember distinctly as I was walking out of the room, Margaret turned around and went, how do you do that? I'll never forget Margaret doing that. She was so earnest about it, too. It was like,
how do you do it? How do you do it?
And it's, I don't know. I think I get out of the way. So I'm being myself and I'm getting out of the way at the same time. So it's a weird dynamic to go through. It's lovely, but it's weird.
That's nothing wrong with that. And I'll tell you, you know, because in my stalking stages with you, You like that. You know, one of the things also, too, is that, and I'm guessing from what this sounds like, I'm guessing that, you know, you stumbling in and getting thrown and told to make up something on the spot is mm-hmm. also the avenue that kind of opened up to where you really start writing. Because, I mean, not only do you have, you know, your band and you have this, and like I said, we are not even scratching the surface on what Lucid Nation means, you know, at the moment, you know, because you guys have, you've done so much with that. But then I see, girl, look. I pulled up your Facebook page, and I was reading your stuff, and I was like, the hell, you know, this is, you know, she's a blogger, writer, okay, Exterminating Angel Press, okay, she's the editor of The Good and True, The Beautiful Zine, you know, you do the stuff with, you know, you do all of these, you know, zines and all these writings and all these interviews and stuff yourself, you know, and then it turns out that you really start putting some, you know, putting some things together. And one of the things I came across was it was actually girls taking over the world. And I was sort of going, what is this girl like? What, my God, man, she is like, you know, she's starting a complete revolution and shaking everybody up and making them think. She figured out her power, her superpower.
It doesn't feel like a superpower, and I don't feel like I'm, you know, forcing anyone to think anything. I feel like it's so much friendlier than that. Actually, it's sort of like when you lean into somebody and go, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Right.
And that's that connectedness that people get where if you meet somebody and you just feel like you've known them your entire life, and if you ever called them out of nowhere, they'd be right there getting your back.
Absolutely.
It's just that communication of souls.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with that. Absolutely. And of course, you know I'm yanking your chain. I was doing, because you knew I was going to yank your chain. And
yes.
You know, but the thing about it with you is that you are able to capture a particular essence, okay, of what it truly means to be all about what's in your head and to turn around and present it as art. Does that statement even make any sense to you?
You mean just articulate the feeling?
Maybe so, and maybe that's even a better way to put it, but, you know, and it's kind of one of those things where, you know, your art, whether you're writing, whether you're singing, whether you're doing your stuff, you know, as far as with the music and things like that, you are able to really portray what you believe in, you know, what you're behind or what you support, and you know, and you do it in a very fantastic way, you know, and that's a compliment.
I should say so.
I was just making sure you knew that, you know, because you're like, what the hell is this chick saying, man? I mean, you've already changed. You already changed to a bit higher connection because you figured out I was going to get serious and shit, you know. But, you know, and one of the things that I appreciate, and the reason why I think it's so much fun talking to you, because as you know, with us here at the station, you know, we play a lot of unsigned, we play a lot of indies and stuff like that. It's important for especially the musicians and artists and stuff that tune in and listen to it. It's important for them to understand, you know, where that idea comes from, you know, where that, you know, you know, what you're inspired, where your inspiration came from. Does that make sense? And it's one of those things where it's a natural thing. And it's like, okay, it's like you're like my show and tell. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, check this chick out, okay? She eats, lives, and breathes this. She don't even need the Wheaties, okay? This is what she does, you know? And it's when you do that, then you get it, you know? And that's, you know, and I don't know if you realize you do that.
Uh-oh, you cut out.
I'm sorry. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think you realize that you're that kind of inspiration. I don't think you realize that.
It's still cutting out.
Are you there?
I think what?
Yes, I am.
Can you hear us now? Because I'm trying to watch on there, and that thing was flashing weird.
You know? Yeah, it keeps getting fuzzy, and then I lose all sound.
Okay.
The modem. I mean, it's,
is that still over there, Phil? Can you fix that?
I'm trying to figure it out.
Okay. Don't. Oh my God! Don't touch a button.
I'm not gonna touch it. I just am trying to figure out why it's flashing.
Just give him a wire.
I'm trying to use my Jedi mind trick on it.
Well, okay, now he's going to stare at make it stop, right?
It's working.
Okay, it's
she
working.
She can hear us. She's laughing.
Okay, she's laughing. She can hear us. Okay, calm down. You know, we've been having some fun.
Get somebody from that occult shop to help.
Right. That's what I'm thinking, man. You know,
Bumblefoot read the freaking their commercial.
Bring some sage or something.
Okay, so we were checking out the planetary lineup this week or something. Pluto is out of whack. Did you know that?
Pluto's a bitch, okay? Always be careful about your plumbing when Pluto aspects. That's all I can tell you from experience.
6 months ago, Pluto wasn't even a planet.
Well, you know what? 6 months before that, Pluto was a planet.
Exactly.
And as a Scorpio, I have to claim Pluto.
It's a planet. You don't take back being called a planet.
It was a planet for how many hundreds of years? And then all of a sudden it wasn't a planet.
I'm sorry.
All of a sudden, okay, you're not a planet anymore. We don't like you. Get out.
We're
demoting you. And now Pluto is angry. Good. We've all angered Pluto.
That's it. You know what? This was self-imposed. She's right. Oh, my God. Shoot. That's right. We self-imposed. This is it. This is our fault. Pluto's out of whack. And now
architects of our own doom. Look at that.
Huh? You don't fuck with someone's planetary status.
So now that we've screwed with Pluto and now our worlds are all, so stuff is not going to work. Things are going to blink on and off. People's worlds are going to collide. You know, love is not going to happen. And, you know, shit on a stick. What?
Shit.
And that's kind of Plutonian,
you see? It all makes sense.
Actually, it made perfect sense. It made perfect sense.
Is that a shit stick over there?
No, but
we got a shit stick from Pluto because you deserve it.
Yeah, no.
Have a nice day.
Before we were cutting in and out, we were talking about what you do what you do. That's my point. You do what you do, and where
you don't give out shit sticks.
You don't give out shit sticks.
No.
You actually.
I don't know. Some of the songs could be.
Now, for intent purposes, there was a period of time, you know, where you know you guys, you know, you'd actually had not put out a record for quite some time. So Equesteria comes out, you know, and it's this has been a long awaited thing for everybody, you know. What made you feel like that now was the time that you needed to make that happen?
The songs made sense finally. So we had done those songs in advance.
Okay.
And sometimes you have a song and you're like, nobody would even relate to this right now. And then an event happens.
I got you.
And it's very relatable.
I got you.
But you've got to, you know, I guess have enough of a sense of timing and awareness of the social vibe, if you want to call it.
Okay.
How people are feeling out there.
Right, right.
You know, so I would say that certain political themes that are happening right now and stuff like that.
Makes perfect sense.
That made Equesteria seem to make more sense now.
It did. It made perfect sense. You landed it right in the middle of where, you know, it needed to happen. You know, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
But I think that happens to all singers and all bands because they're doing music, and music is, you know, it used to be considered sacred.
Mm-hmm.
It still can be, depending on how you approach it.
Yeah.
And when you approach music like that, you can have prescience, you can have second sight, you can, you know, how many artists predicted 9/11? I did songs in Tacoma Ballet that one of them was called Everything's Falling Down. There was,
wow.
I went after the, for some reason, I was really hopped up on a Mocha Grande from a local coffee house, and I was ready to do a punk rock song, and of course the band broke into a country song.
Okay.
And I ended up doing this ridiculously funny country song about the Texans, and we're gonna, I even, you know, said such memorable lines as give us your poor huddled masses and we'll give them designer sunglasses. I mean, it was an awful rant, but
yeah.
it made sense after 9/11.
Wow. And that was the thing, because, you know, and it's funny that you bring, you know, 9/11 up, because when And now that you just told me that, though, you know, I mean, I even hate to use the word kind of premonition, but to an extent, I'm going to use the word premonition just because it's
prescience.
Okay, yeah, we'll go that route. Your route's cool. I like
well, thank you.
Your route's cool. You wind up though, and so 9/11 happens, right? And you know, and it was one of those things where you didn't want to tour, you know, and it was
it was
kind of one of those things where you wound up, and this is, you know, during that time is when you guys wind up really kind of pulling out of the limelight, you know what I mean? And now during this time period, you know, you're still writing, you're still making music. Of course, now you've never stopped writing and doing the stuff with the Vines and, you know, and all the other, you know, crazy cool things that you do as far as with the other groups and organizations that you work with. But musically, you know, what happened during right after that until recently when this album comes up, what happens?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, it was really difficult emotionally. The emotional landscape got changed dramatically.
Yes, it did.
Flying wasn't fun anymore.
Right.
And it wasn't fun for me before. We were actually in Tacoma, and it was the day we were leaving, and the day we were leaving was 9/11, and we were going out of SeaTac into LAX. And mm-hmm. Who knows what could have happened, but, you know, our plane got grounded before we got on it. Mm-hmm. And just watching, basically, we had to sit there and witness America go through this transition.
Wow.
And this trauma.
Wow.
And it was a frightening thing to see, to be sure. And as an artist, you want to be really cautious about how you treat people.
Yes.
You want to treat them with kindness and respect and intelligence. And I just, on a lot of levels, I just felt like, leave the poor people alone and let them, you know, recover from their trauma.
Yes.
I had to. There wasn't a lot. And then we, you know, eventually released Tacoma.
Right, right.
And then there was a lot of writing, but there is a lot of soul searching. And then I was withdrawn from music for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I was traumatized about losing bands and stuff like that, and then
right.
Our scene, which had been the all ages scene down out here in LA,
right,
it got completely shut down. There was just no music scene. In fact, people doing music were considered hooligans all of a sudden.
Kids really?
Couldn't do music in the garage and stuff like that. We were all terrorists. We were all suspect.
Oh, wow.
So course, I started writing, you know, in Utopia, something Utopia, something political, because, you know, damn it, Bush was a rotten guy in a lot of ways.
Sure he was.
In fact, I did a song called Pretzels for Algernon for him during that time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, nice. Pretty funny.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, Tamara, you bring up a good point. You're talking about the all ages thing, you know what
uh-huh.
I mean? You know, there was always that time when, because look, I remember, you know, I'm not saying my age, but I remember
back then.
And yeah, me and you might have hung out, but way back when, I remember. Look, but you know, don't. It's like, you know, it was like not old enough, you know, to like supposedly, you know, at least not old enough legally, you know, to get in trouble and things like that. But my God, man, you could go catch some shows, you can go see some music, you could, and that was like, because those ages were like the most viral ages of music,
mm-hmm.
and there were the ones that would share it, and there were the ones that would, you know, hey,
that's where the ant dance comes in, or the bee dance. This is where the tribe becomes a hive and mm-hmm. sends out scouts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what music does.
Exactly. So this, and it's funny. And I'm glad you bring it up, because everybody makes it sound like it was just their scene that this happened to.
Mm-mm, it was everybody. It seemed like a concerted effort to discontinue communication that way.
Is that like a plot, do you think? Like, that was like a total plot?
Everything's a conspiracy. Well, ask Pluto.
Oh, you know what? Damn Pluto, right? Oh, we can't damn Pluto, because if we damn Pluto, then Pluto's going to be like, get mad at us.
No, ask Pluto. Pluto has been conspired against.
No, yeah.
What do you mean I'm not a planet? Satellite. No.
So we need to hold Pluto and hug Pluto.
No, I mean, you look at...
Exactly.
Okay.
We need to love the Pluto.
We need to love Pluto.
I was on the other side of the country, and that, the same thing was happening. You know, like New York City, all the major... All ages.
Billy, you're dropping out.
Hang on, no, come in.
Is that better? I wasn't quite on top of the microphone enough.
You're still not on there.
No, I'm trying.
Can you hear him?
Is that better?
Oh yes.
Okay.
You're professional.
I got to be right on the microphone. No, but I was on the other side of the country, and we had all the major. All ages clubs in New York City and Philadelphia and New Jersey shut down within 12 months, maybe.
It was almost instantaneous. Yeah. That was the shocking thing. I mean, so in other words, people need an outlet. They don't want to be someplace where they're serving alcohol. That's kind of nice sometimes.
Yeah.
And because believe me, if you're going to improv, get a mocha. It's been hell.
Right.
It's great.
Right.
You're really chatty. I got 52 songs out of Mocha Grande in 1 week in Tacoma. Great.
Perfect.
But, these are meeting places. A coffee house is like an essential to any artistic endeavor.
You're right, though. I mean, but that's the thing. I mean, when we're talking about, the places where like all ages or, these ideas, can happen, and everybody is okay, and it got to the point where these bands, even the young bands that were that age too, that were in bands, they couldn't play certain places. They couldn't play clubs. They didn't have anywhere to play. They didn't have anything to do. And so, this winds up, and I tell everybody that we're talking, it's been a good 15 years, 18 years, where like you feel like everybody was thrown in a dungeon. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And everything was dark and everything was gloomy and everybody got into their own genres and nobody would hold hands and nobody would share. And we grew up giving my age out, but we grew up in a time where everybody existed together at the same time. Now, yes, you might have got a funny look for the hairdo. I mean, look, okay, I'm all right, whatever.
The biggest thing you competed over is who got to put the flyer up on.
That's the worst thing. Who got the top the top spot for the flyer space. That was the worst thing that could happen.
You went back and you put your flyers
together.
On the flyer?
I always thought that was so much fun.
That was a blast. Are you kidding, man?
It's just like the zines. The zines are like the most amazing things, because it's half art, it's half humor, and it's so much kismet and synchronicity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such a delight to put them together, and especially when it's a group of you.
Yes.
It's pure delight. It's pure creativity. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
And it also... Again, it inspires people, whether they be visual artists or writers or musicians or photographers, videographers, filmmakers, whoever you are, you're allowed to do whatever you want in a zine. So maybe you're a serious writer and all you want to do is a funny picture with a caption.
Yep.
And that's perfectly legitimate. You can look at the feed on Facebook as kind of like that, but it really isn't. Because the other thing about a zine is when it comes together, this was almost... You could always count on this experience in the ones that I used to work with.
Sure.
Somehow, even if you were working on one theme, another theme would come out of it and make itself obvious that this is what the zine is truly about.
Yep.
And you just go, my God, it's all right there, boom. And you put all the pages together and you go, it's perfect. Oh, my God, it's so wonderful. And it was always such a thrill to be able to do that. And it was such a... And plus, the creativity and everything was so simplistic. It's like a 3-minute song,
Yep.
Well, what do you got? You got 3 minutes. What's it going to be?
Yeah, you got to catch them. You got to catch them in this amount of time, And this is what you've got to do. And remember when stage clothes and outfits and stuff was like, I feel like that Pretty in Pink movie, you know, where you know what I'm talking about, where she gets a dress and she rips it up and then makes it into something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did.
Yeah, I want to make it individualized. I've
yes.
got to put my own touch on it.
Yes, you know, they're the only way that you were going to be ensured that you were going to be original is if you did stuff like that. Because, look, if everybody went to the same store and bought the same shirt...
I'm sorry.
He said Hot Topic. If everybody, you know
it's
what I mean,
Walmart.
there was nothing about that. But you know, to be able to go, golly, man, you would sit there and you would go to, you know, thrift shopping, and you know, you would find some crazy prints, and you would find some crazy material, and you'd find some, you know, crazy jackets and things like that.
Oh, I'd always find the ugliest things in the history of mankind.
And then everybody wanted to know where you bought it. See? You know? When you're on...
I have some fantastic Chinese army boots. My goodness. You know what? They lack in pure beauty. They more than make up for in durability. That's like the best $5 I ever spent. They're still walking.
See, but that's my point. And then, you know, then it becomes a fashion statement. You know, and then it becomes a very...
Yeah, I'm protecting my feet. You would not believe. My first bass amp was an acoustic 360 with a lovely blue formica on the front, and it had wheels and a handle.
Oh, nice.
And usually you would not see either me or Debbie bringing in that amp, but boy, we loved to play through it. You know, it was, you know, we might not be very tall, but we feel mighty when we play through the acoustic 360.
I love it.
A slight Napoleon complex going on right there, but it worked for us.
That's okay.
Suddenly we felt bold.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. So you're hanging out and you're doing all of this craziness, and you start, you know, Tamara, you start, you know, writing in the vines and stuff, and you wind up doing some other cool things. You and Ronnie both, mm-hmm. you know, jumping in on, you know, being editors for Unutopia magazine was actually a cool thing, mm-hmm. That you guys are doing. And so, and then, of course, you know, you know, a couple, you know, albums, you know, one or two, you know, kind of come out here, and it's like you kind of kept your fingers in, you know, in the soup, you mm-hmm. know, but you know, from a distance, but you didn't go far. You did not go far.
No, we did not stray too far.
And so, you know, ultimately, you know, in this time period, so if I understand you correctly, you wrote some songs that did not make sense at that time, but would. And so,
yep.
And you were going to hang on to them. So mm-hmm. when you write a song and you go, okay, this won't make sense now, but it will. Okay. So
mm-hmm.
So what do you do with that song? You just, do you put it like, you know, a quote unquote shelf and just hold on to it? Do you continue?
Some of them, usually it just gets into rotation and rehearsal.
Okay. Okay.
So, because the one thing I really love rehearsal.
Perfect.
So it can be, you know, a full band. It can be recorded. It can be, you know, rehearsal. We're going to record. Maybe we'll jam and we'll get an improv. But I mean, it can be Ronnie and I just with our guitars.
Wow.
And that to me is actually sublime. That's just the best ever. So, you know, you may get songs are like snowflakes, really. You know, you got to let them be themselves. You just, you know, they're little hatchlings. They come out. Sometimes they're fully formed. Sometimes they're little fragments. I can't tell you how many songs Ronnie's come down and said, I had this melody in a dream, so let's work on that. And,
oh, wow.
You know, 5 minutes later, it might be a song. 2 months later, it might be, are we going to do something with that or not? You know, it's annoying me now. Well, let's just make it a song so it'll stop annoying us.
Right.
Sometimes they'll haunt you. It'll be a melody in your head, and it's like, is that like a Honda commercial or something? No, it's a song I've had for about 2 weeks now. It won't go away. I think we should just do something with it.
I see. Okay.
But every day to play music is, you know, it's a gift, but it's also a job. I just figured that this is what I do. I have to do this, and this is what I'm going to do
until
I'm told not to.
Until,
you know?
Well, you're never going to be told not to. You know,
I know. I never get the feeling I will be.
You're never going to be told you're not to, you know, because like I said, too many people dig what you've got going on. And the other beautiful thing is that there is like this totally old soul that's like trapped in your body. I mean, you know that too, right? You know.
The last thing I heard was old soul.
Yeah, the old soul. You have a totally old soul trapped in your body.
Ew.
Not what? I'm just saying.
Not an old man trapped in your body.
Not an old man.
There's that stalker talk again.
Yeah, that's that stalker talk.
You don't want to take it out, do you?
No.
I'm going to love him and kiss him. And hold
him and call him George, you know.
I'm going to name it. I'm going little blankie.
No, you know, you just, you know, and everybody's response, you know, to you and your style. You know, in singing and stuff, you know, it's, and you've heard it, you know, I know you've heard it. I know people come up and told you, you know, they think about, you know, the Patti Smith, they talk about the old Stooges, you know, they talk about, you know, the, you know, different styles and stuff. And I don't, you know, I know you don't do that on purpose because you do, you know, this is what you do.
I think we're genre jumpers. I think we usually confuse the public more than anything.
See, that's honest. That's honest. That's completely honest.
Because, I mean, Token Voter, I remember how that song happened was we were jamming, and it was like, oh, my God, I think Lita was there and Phoenix, and Darren might have been there. I know Kenny was on drums. I know Justin was on guitar. Ronnie was on guitar, mm-hmm. and I was there bouncing around somewhere. And probably in the other room. I can watch TV out here. I'm down. Because I'm paying attention. And they were kind of laughing, and there was a break, and they said, well, we've done just about every genre of music. And someone went, we haven't done reggae, and they just kicked right in. It was so hilarious. And I'm like, all right.
In the middle section of that, and this is just me throwing out, I mean, for my influences, the middle section that reminds me of Soft Parade by The Doors.
You're breaking up again.
Oh, the middle section of the song we just heard, Token Voter, mm-hmm. Reminds me a little bit of Soft Parade by The Doors, the way the keyboard worked and everything like that. I don't know why. That's what I heard in my head.
Yeah, see?
Wow.
See? Told you.
That's pretty flattering.
Yeah, yeah.
I come from a totally different genre, but I mean, that's the, you know.
But yeah. Well, oh, maybe it's the organ.
That's what it is. It's definitely the organ that reminded me of that, you know, and you know, and it's something that you don't normally hear in, mm-hmm. in what would be considered a punk or, you know, a garage band. You might hear some organ sometimes, but, you know, not normally.
Yeah. Yeah. That's some cool
that's
stuff.
That's really true, yeah.
No.
I agree.
I concur. I concur. All right. Everybody say I. I.
I. I.
How many assholes are there on this ship?
I. Right. No.
Careful. We're Californians. We drawl our R's really fiercely. We sound like a bunch of pirates.
R.
Well, oh, my. R. And once someone pointed it out to me, I was so self-conscious about it, and I thought, you know what, you can't worry about that.
No, you can't.
It is what it is.
You can't.
I grew up in Pennsylvania. Every once in a while, I think the other day I caught myself ordering food from a Chinese restaurant, and I said regular, but I said it like a Pennsylvanian would say it, which is regular.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And I got off the phone. I was like, I got to go back to not like listening to anything ever.
No, you can't do that. You know, majority of my time here in Memphis, but I was born in New York, you know, lived in Memphis, you know, I was lived in Dallas for a little bit back. My mom is Asian. My dad is from the Bronx. You do the math.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So
you should do it.
That's pretty badass.
That's pretty cool, right? Because I could be totally Bronx. I can turn into a total redneck in 2.8 seconds and call you darling, sweetheart, baby doll,
and remember,
honey.
And then I tell you, bless your heart in Memphis. It's not a compliment.
And then I could sit there and, you know, and ask, you know, what the hell is wrong with you? You know, why is everything going to be this way? And if you answer the question, I could scream at you for answering the question because I did not ask you one. Yeah, I could do that too.
You should do your mom.
I'm not going to do my mom, no.
That sounded bad the way you said it.
No, well, I'm never talking about her accent. Don't talk about my mom like that. Oh my God. We're back. We're back to doing Tamara. Stop it.
Okay. My mother would always say Washington.
Washington.
And I would just, you know, as a Capricorn child, to stare at my mother and go, there is no R in Washington.
There's not.
And I had to train myself not to wash the car and things like that. So at least I curbed the California accent there. I didn't add extra R's on things.
Well, because here's the thing. That's a Philadelphia thing.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you know, when we say, if you talk to anyone from Philadelphia and they order water ice, which is an Italian ice, they pronounce it water ice.
Oh, wait. Hey, guess what? Somebody's calling.
Really?
I know, right? Hold on.
Okay.
Radio Memphis, Memphis Metal Mondays. You are live on the radio with Phil D talking to Tamara. Who is this?
Hey, it's Night Bob.
I knew it.
All right, it's Night Bob.
I knew it.
Woo! Throw up the horn. It has arrived. See, you mentioned New York.
See,
yeah, you mentioned New York. I'm here.
Listen.
Play a couple of songs. I mean, Token Voter sounded really good on the internet radio. I'd like to hear something else.
You would like to hear something else.
You like that song in particular,
yeah.
Right, Bob?
He does like that song in particular.
I don't want to, you know, it started to sound like talk radio, which was like a headache. You
know? I know. Well, yeah, we were just having so much
play
fun.
Play some music and I'll call you back, all right? See ya.
All right, dude, I feel like we just like totally got a producer that showed up.
Bob, come on, put on
what
the music.
What the hell? I know. So those of you that are tuned in, our producer just called in. His name is Night Bob. And Night Bob, you know, would like to hear him some more Hallucination, which of course we would like to as well. I tell you what, he'll call back.
He'll call back. Yeah.
I'm going to place you on hold, baby. You're going to hear this. I'm thinking world's guiltiest pleasure.
Oh, this will be fun.
Hold tight for me, honey, okay?
Okay.
All right. For those of you that are tuned in, no, this is not talk radio. This is Memphis Metal Mondays and Radio Memphis. Thank you, Night Bob, for keeping us back in check. We got some more Lucid Nation for you. Got world's guiltiest pleasure for you right here, right now.
Just band or musician and would like to have your stuff played here on Radio Memphis, look for the music submission link on radio-memphis.com and get your original material on the air at Radio Memphis.
Let's face it, we take our music pretty seriously around here. You want the best gear for the money, right? Turntables, headphones, home theater systems, and some really good information about designing the best system for you. It's all available at the Audio Advice banner ad at radio-memphis.com. Now look, this is for serious fans of the good stuff. You want theater-grade sound for your home. From home automation to lighting to security, you can get it all and get the right advice at Audio Advice. Look for their banner ad at radio-memphis.com.
Get your metal music fix with Dirty D. Memphis Metal Mondays, Monday nights at 9 Central on Radio Memphis.
That's right, it is Radio Memphis, Memphis Metal Mondays. And we got Tamara Spivey on the phone hanging out with us. But first, here's a little more Lucid Nation for you. It's called Second Skin, right here only on Radio Memphis.
I've gone about in hell about a million times. It takes all my strength.
Some more Lucid Nation for you right here on Radio Memphis, man. You're hanging out with me, Dirty D, right here on Memphis Metal Mondays. Little Second Skin, how about that? And of course, that is off of their latest album, Echosteria. And of course, if you talk to Alternative Press, they're going to tell you that it's 100 bands you need to know. Lucid Nation is on that list. And of course, Magnet Magazine says punk rock exile on Main Street with shade to the Stooges, Riot Girl, Pierre Ubu, and even The Doors. See, so it's not the only person that sat there and thought about that.
Yeah, that's right.
On it. Speaking of Lucid Nation, we happen to have Tamara on the phone with us. Hey, honey.
Hi.
Good stuff. Yeah, see, I gave it a chance.
That's a good song. That's Steve Moriarty on drums.
Yeah, see, that right there rocks it out. That right there was some good stuff, you know. And we had to feed the masses and give them music. So we did. So we did. Good stuff. Now, I tell you, so the album comes together and everybody decides, okay, it now makes sense, right? And
right.
And we're going to do this. So what's the first thing that you're in your mind, other than, you know, rehearsing, practicing, and recording? What, I mean, what's the first thing that you have decided that, okay, it's time to birth this? You know, when have you figured out that this now is the time?
The 1 year anniversary of the election of Trump.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ah.
I just thought that it was time. It was like, you know, suddenly, you know, a lot of the songs felt like they were now socially appropriate.
Perfect.
To let go.
Okay.
Yeah. It just, it's like anything, you know when it's right, and now is the time.
And now is the time. And that's what you wind up doing.
Yeah. Not very much mysticism involved or anything.
No, that's, and you know, it's actually, you know, kind of cool.
It's
and that's
like,
and that's cool.
Pluto was in line and she waited till Pluto was in line.
Well, and yeah, Pluto showed up. Yeah, showed up.
I still can't hear Phil.
I said you waited till Pluto was in line. I almost couldn't pronounce Pluto.
I don't know if Pluto will ever be out of in line because it's so, you know, offended now.
Yeah, it's very offended. You know, and it's funny, and, you know, thank you, Night Bob, for chiming in and making sure we got back to some music. Speaking of, I have him to thank, you know, for making sure that I was introduced to you and to the band. And, you know, he was so comical. You know, he's so sneaky, you know. He's very
subtle.
Subtle is when you're being polite. He was so very cool and so fantastic. And, you know, you just want to talk about just a brilliant mastermind when it comes to music anyway.
Indeed.
He sends me this message, right, about a month ago. And he goes, hey, I'd like to send you a band. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do this and stuff. And so, you know, and of course he sends me a link to your Bandcamp. And those of you, like, if you're tuned in and stuff, you can actually go to lucidnation.bandcamp.com and, you know, uh-huh. you can hear, you know, hear the album and stuff like that and hear some cool stuff.
It's like on Spotify and it's on
all the normal channels.
Yeah. It's everywhere,
and you need to go check it out. So, but anyway, he sends me links, like, you know, check it out. And so, and it was so funny because it happened to be a day that I was at home under normal circumstances. I would not be, right? And so I was sitting there listening to it, and I was, like, doing some stuff on the computer. I was working. I had you guys, you know, I was listening to some of this. Oh, man, this is awesome, man. This rocks. You know, and he was like, well, you know, you think you might be interested? I'm like, yeah. And, man, I was like, yeah, cool. And I was like, well, you know, would you like to talk? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to. Are you kidding? That's cool. And he was like, okay. And I was like, just, you know, just let them know if it's okay. You know, we said we'll grab some tracks. And he was like, yeah, they said it was okay. I'm here standing there with them. And I was like, oh, what a dog. You said, I mean, he was like, you know, because I thought he was on the East Coast. You know what I mean? And that's when I had learned that he actually stepped in and helped with the token voter. And mm-hmm. and I thought, that, you know, how amazing, you know, and how cool was that? Because he's just an awesome man when it comes to the recording and mixing and all that.
I think he's a history of rock all in one person.
No doubt. I mean, I've spent some time on air with him and stuff, and it was like, I need to do like a series with just him. You know what I mean? And where we
mm-hmm.
and I think, and you know, you may have just helped me come up with an idea. I think
we're working on a zine together.
Yeah, see, and so you can even join in on this, because, you know, I'm thinking that if I take him and I like bust him down into decades, you know, and we can go that route. And guess what? The phone's ringing again. Radio Memphis, Memphis Metal Mondays. We sure are live right here. D. Phil talking to Tamara from Lucid Nation. Who might this be?
Night Bob, calling back.
What do you think, Bob?
To all this yacking about that stuff, and to tell you that I did a whole record. I mixed a record for Lucid Nation.
You're amazing.
Like in during the Dark Ages.
I love it.
of course, we had to do that on Papyrus, so it didn't last very long.
I wish you could play Night Prowler.
Night Prowler, I bet you do.
Yeah.
I think that's what made Bob like us.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, Nightcrawler for sure. But we also added PCH by Sonic Youth at the end of it. You want to tell the dark story about it, Bob?
It's a great, great track. And there's some really great tracks on that record, but that's a million years ago. It's really wild when you play some of these new songs. See, I've heard bits and pieces of these songs. Like, I'll go to L.A., I go over their house, they play me some stuff. Right. Then I go out and go back out on tour with some band, and I come back like months later, and they play me some stuff. Right, and then like you go away, and you go to New York, you do some shows, you come back to L.A., they play you stuff.
Right? And then one we got day, 20 more, Bob, but they're getting kind of confused.
That's
very, very nice way of making records, I must say.
Nice. Very nice. Well, you know, it's funny. I am so, Bob, glad that you introduced me to the band. What a fantastic. I'll tell you, you know, Rick, you know, the owner of the station and stuff, as soon as he got it in, and we got it in and we were loading it up into the automation. I mean, Rick being the guy that he is, he was like, oh my God, yes. He goes, dude. You know, he was like, where have you been hiding them? I was like, I had help. I can't even claim this, man. I had help.
Well,
I was like a Jedi
that's
master.
That's the way the best stuff is, isn't it? When someone turns you on to something.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, somebody says, you ought to check this out. You know?
Yeah.
And,
hey, listen to this.
You want to play that song about that Stalin guy.
Mm-hmm. And see, this is how this works. I feel like we're those three kids that are in our mom's basement, man, and we're trading vinyl.
Exactly.
But we're like, one's in New York, one's in L.A., and the other's in Memphis. It's like we've got it all covered.
That is an unholy trinity that I think
from Canada, we'd be like all 4 points.
See, that's what I'm talking about. See, this was like meant to be. This was meant to happen. Now I'm waiting for the wind to whip up, and maybe Pluto could come back in life.
No, I'm telling you, the wind was so dire outside today. I was almost hoping it was still going on so I could walk outside and go, what do you think of this glamorous lifestyle? This freezing wind. This howling like wolves outside the door.
Freezing. Okay, wait. Now you're talking to Bob, who is on the East Coast, you know, in New York, and she's talking about freezing wind.
But down here, it is actually, there are 30s and 40s.
Wow.
And we had hail today. I actually tried to film it.
Hail.
Hail. And next, we're going to get the Rain of Frogs, which we thought of it as a name for the band. But
oh, that's my favorite.
Rain of Frogs, you like that one?
I got to tell you, that in New York, day after tomorrow, it's going to be 70 degrees.
Oh, how nice.
See, that's warmer than us.
That's what I said. How nice. You know?
How nice.
I got to tell you something. That while I got the two of you on the phone here, I actually experienced fake news.
What'd you do?
No, I didn't do anything. I'm here at home, right? And they're saying, and I turn on the TV and they're going, 6 inches of accumulation. Right? I'm looking out the window, I'm going, like, the streets are dry. It's not even snowing. What are they talking about?
They want you to believe it, Bob.
There was never any snow, but even the next day they said,
yes, there was,
you know,
Bob,
three inches snow in Manhattan. I was like, where? I'll go look at it. It's all good.
Oh, you
so, were... Wait. The last time when I went out to Lucid Nation World Headquarters.
Yes.
I had that Ronnie and Tamara came to see Joe Perry's records launch.
Oh, nice.
Which was kind of, I thought it was kind of fun. I was amazed they stayed to the end.
Oh, okay.
that was a lot of great singers in one place. I mean,
everybody,
Mr. Perry's fine and dandy and everything, but all those singers, oh my God.
Yeah?
That was schooling.
Wow.
You gotta go there.
It was pretty impressive. I gotta tell you, it had some great people singing. And,
wow, I would have loved to see that.
He does this crazy cover of The Eve of Destruction.
Oh, look at you. Okay.
And it's actually very, very cool. And he sings it, you know, which is always a treat.
Wow. So, yeah, so, I love it. You know, with Tamara, you know, and of course, you know, you doing the things that you've done as long as you have, and you're like, she goes, that's schooling. I'm like, ooh. That's
Mr. Johansson was there, and Mr. Robinson was there, and Mr. Xander was there. I mean, oh my God.
Oh, Xander was
there. That's a room full of singers.
Oh my God, right? Okay, yeah. Okay, I totally agree with that one then, yes. That would have to happen. Absolutely.
I must have been staring like a bird dog the whole time. Watch the professionals. Learn.
Much the old guys. You know,
well, don't say that.
That's not, stop it.
Don't be that way.
You know what? I say rock out, but have a little bit of dignity.
Okay. So don't.
You can play it till you're 91. Just don't try and look like you're 12.
I see.
All right, that's disturbing.
Have a little dignity, like the old blues guys. You know, that's what I think Johansson is doing. He's trying to be really have a little dignity and still sing these deep songs.
You know? Absolutely. Just the pants don't have to be as tight when you get that age. They don't.
No way.
They don't need to be.
It's over.
You know, and
it's over.
Yeah, 70 years
old.
When
you get to that age, you're on one of these cruises, you know, what 90 other one-hit wonders, right? And you're trapped on this cruise and there's no escape.
Oh,
and on one deck are all the bands, and then two decks blow.
I believe that's one of the stages of hell or something.
And there's no way. Yeah, it is like
we should call that shop, that shop that you had in the beginning of the show.
What shop? Oh,
the occult shop.
Yes, yes, the broom closet. I'm sorry,
broom closet. That's such a great name.
It is. Yeah, those are fantastic people, man. They are cool as hell. We love them to death. Are you kidding, man? They're super cool. Yeah, I was like, what's
that?
The broom closet. The broom closet.
It's an occult shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have that, and of course they're also historical haunts. They do the historical haunt tours. People,
goodness, that must be fabulous.
Oh, it is. It's fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what was that song with the guy would yell candy cane or something in it?
Oh, that was
candy cane.
That was DC4.
And what did they do? Well, where are they? Who are they?
Okay, go ahead.
Brothers from the Decline of Western Civilization Part 2. From the band Odin.
I know what that. Wait a minute.
Is it Jeff?
Explains everything.
Jeff Duncan, Sean
Jeff
Duncan.
Explains everything. Yeah. Hey, so here's an up and up little rock thing, and then I'll let you guys get back to the place. You really play that Stalin song. I can't remember the exact title.
Oh, SNMBC.
I found a band in New York.
Okay.
Right? That sounds like Slade.
Oh yes!
Like a New York version of Slade. I'm telling you.
Don't tease me.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go record them and make a single. I'll send you my win.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so don't. I love. Look. Don't tease me. That's not funny. Don't tease me.
I'm not teasing. This band is like. I was like, they're evil. It's great. You know. It's like, perfect.
I love Slade, man. You can just like don't tease.
What can I say?
I get all excited.
Hey, Cameron, what's it? The Stalin song. What's the actual title of that?
What's the title of the Stalin song? When Stalin starts making sense.
There you go.
Yeah, that's it.
Play that.
Play that. I dare you. I triple dog dare you. I jump protocol.
Come on, it's like Rammstein.
It's all right. I got it.
SNMBC is better, though. Ronnie says
I'm going to let you get back to Lucid Nation, so I'm going to sign off from New York City, okay?
Not a problem, Ben. Thank you, New York City, for checking in.
There is no snow, and when there's something hot and happening, I'll call you up and tell you all about it.
I would love it.
I'll talk to you soon, all right? See ya.
All right.
See you later, Phil. See you later, right? Bye.
All
right.
See you. Bye, honey. It was killing him. See, here's the deal. Like, if you totally get off kilter and things like that, you know, and totally just not roll the thing the way you're supposed to, man, he's going to call and let you know this.
Exactly. He's going to straighten you out.
I love him.
Just the way you behave.
Look, you know what?
Right.
He's all about the music and stuff. That's why he's who he is. He's Night Bob. Amazing, man. And you were such a lucky, lucky, lucky person. You are an extremely lucky person. I will tell you that what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to load up a couple of tracks for everybody, you know, so that they can tune in and listen to some Lucid Nation and rock out to you. You and I, this can't be the last time for us. Okay.
Absolutely.
Now we're friends now, sister.
we're practically kin.
That's right. We are. And you know what? In fact, you're helping me plan like another sub-series and stuff like that, where we're going to divide Bob's, you know, career into decades and make it into some type of show of somehow. I'm going to mastermind this, and I'll figure it out, and I will let you know how that will work.
It's a plan.
You are
done and done.
you are doing some amazing stuff. We didn't even really touch base on a lot of the coolness of who you are and what you've got going on. Your band, you know, everybody, you guys have such fun. You're fantastic. I know that, you know, everybody can learn a little something from you. And that, you know, you're a gift just by alone existing. And, you know, and I can't thank you enough for rocking out the way you do. Oh.
Thank you.
You are what? She's like, I don't even know what to say to that. It's all good. Yeah. It's all good. But now, out of curiosity,
I'll keep trying to work as hard as I can.
are you guys gonna be playing out? Are you gonna be playing any shows? Are you gonna be doing any touring at any point?
Who knows? Lucid Nation does what Lucid Nation does. We just follow orders.
Perfect. All right. So this is one of those. In other words, pay attention and keep in touch with Lucid Nation to see what the hell happens. Okay. All right. That's some good stuff. Easy. Now, like you said you're on all the channels, you know, as far mm-hmm, as where mm-hmm. everybody can get your albums and stuff, you know, as far as, you know, the iTunes, you know, everybody can get Spotify and everybody can get the stuff on Bandcamp and, you know, SoundCloud and all that good stuff, you know, and snatch them a copy. And definitely do it, because I did, man. And I'm so glad I did. On that. Anything else? Was there anything else that you're doing that everybody may want to keep up with?
I don't know. We're always online and available there. And,
perfect.
And, you know.
Perfect.
Just doing what we do.
Doing what you do.
We have always been here. We shall always remain.
See? And that's it.
Power to Pluto.
That's it.
Power to Pluto.
Power to Pluto.
I'm going to start the hashtag tonight.
Hashtag
power to Pluto.
Pluto's a planet.
Hashtag Pluto's a planet.
Let's make that shit go viral, everybody.
Listen, sweetie, I'm gonna let you hang out, you know, and get some rest and stuff, you know, and give our best, you know, to Ronnie, give our best to, you know, to the band, on
I
everything else.
Will.
And yeah, I got a little, you know, a little SMBC coming up. I got a little American Dream coming up, you know, got a little something coming up, and I'll let everybody kind of rock out to you to take our show out. How about that?
Okay.
Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you so much for spending your evening with us here on Radio Memphis, honey.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. We'll talk soon.
It's been an absolute delight.
Thanks, honey. We'll talk soon, Tamara.
Okay.
All right, babe.
We have plans.
We got plans, yes.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, that's so funny because that was one of the... You could tell I had a hard time like trying to be totally pro about that.
I know.
And there's no, I mean, it was like talking to one of my friends, you
and
know?
That's how we tried to do all the interviews that we did.
This was like, you know, this one I got totally like sideways and stuff like that. Like I said, if it wasn't for Bob, you know, it's all good.
Play some music, I'll call you back.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, it's like the producer is called. You know, those of you that have been tuning in and hanging out and stuff like that, you know, and like I said, I know just about some of the interaction and stuff on y'all on our pages and stuff like that. Everybody's been completely excited, you know, that we've got some Lucid Nation in here on Radio Memphis and stuff. So definitely, you know, we've got it. You guys want to, you know, request it and stuff, we'll play it for you. I'm going to play a couple of their tracks to take out, you know, take us out into the evening. And I think that's just the fair thing to do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So you guys don't go anywhere, man. A little, like I said, a little American Dream coming up a little later. SMBC coming up right now.
We don't have the Stalin song, I don't think, but you know that night Bob was talking about. But you know,
actually, I think that's the one that
is
we're
that SMBC.
I think so.
Okay,
I think so. With that being said, we're just gonna play a couple, you know, two or three tracks, and we'll let everybody fun with that. How about that? Okay. You got anything?
You know, send your stuff in. We want your music.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
You know, if you know where to find us, you can go to radio-memphis.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can search for the submission button.
Mm-hmm.
Send it in.
Mm-hmm.
You can send it to Diana with two N's.
I'm a two-N-er.
D I A NNA, at pirateradiostudios.com, or phil@radio-memphis.com. You can go to our Facebook page, and you can send it in through either Prog Times page, Metal Mondays page, Around the World's page, just Radio Memphis's page, any of the pages. It'll all end up here on our system that we can play your music. And as long as your music is professionally recorded and sounds, and we can make it sound stellar through our system.
You're so truly, you're really trying, aren't you?
I am. I'm you know.
I know. It's like
it's been a rough week.
Yeah, I know. You're even sitting up straight and like clasping your hands and like, you know, trying to like totally do this.
Yes, I'm, you know.
All right.
Because I know I speak with my hands a lot. I was watching myself in the camera earlier and noticing how much I gesticulate with my hands.
Well, like I said, either way, when it's all said and done, you know, thanks everybody for tuning in and hanging out with us right here on Radio Memphis and Memphis Metal Mondays, because you know, this show happens every Monday night starting at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we rock it out until midnight. And as promised, man, we're gonna let this punk riot girl take you out, man, because this is cool as hell. We love having this right here on our station. Lucid Nation, all right? You guys, enjoy this. Go get it.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.